Welcome to the Stirring Hearts Podcast. My name is Lori Adams, and I'll be your host. I'm a wife, mom, and meemaw to four little angels. You know, in all the years that I've been in ministry, ministering to women has truly been my passion. The Lord has given me a heart to inspire, encourage, and impact women just like you. The Stirring Hearts Podcast is designed to stir up your heart into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. Jesus, the lover of your soul, not to stir your emotions, but to stir the Spirit of God that dwells inside you. And by doing so, we will learn to live out the greatest commandment given to us by Jesus, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. My prayer is that your hunger for Jesus will go stronger every time you listen to this podcast. So join me today, sisters, as we stir our hearts for personal revival. Well, hey, sweet sister, welcome to episode 20 of the Stirring Hearts Podcast. I'm so happy that you are joining me today. You know, I live in Texas, and man, are we ever experiencing a heat wave. The temperatures are expected to be in the hundreds all week long, even reaching as high as 106. Yuck. When you walk outdoors, it's like you're opening your oven door that's been set to 450 degrees. It's miserable. Now, I'm not sure where you live and what your weather is like, but I'm always amazed how just a few hundred miles away, things can be so different. Cloudcroft, New Mexico is 108 miles from El Paso, Texas, where I live. And you know what the temperatures are going to be there all week? In the mid-70s. What? How is that fair? Well, we actually have family that live there, so I'm very happy for them that they get to enjoy that beautiful weather. Now, speaking of family, let me give a shout out to my sweet sister-in-law, Lisa, who lives in Cloudcroft, and I know she listens to the podcast regularly. Love you, Lisa. All right, let's dive into today's podcast. The title of today's podcast is It's All About the Heart. Now, my very first episode of the Stirring Hearts Podcast, I briefly talked about the heart. Let's do a little refresher. The word heart is mentioned 826 times in the Bible. I think that would indicate that the heart does matter to the Lord. Now, here's a biblical definition of what the heart is. The term heart in the Bible usually refers to the central core of a man or woman, the inner person. The heart is seen as the seat of emotions, aspirations, and beliefs. It is therefore part of the soul of a person. The heart and the soul, you know, they go together. And when we become believers by putting faith in Jesus, our heart and soul are the places that need daily renewing and sanctification to grow spiritually. The heart matters so much that I put it in the name of this podcast, Stirring Hearts. My hope and prayer are always to stir your heart towards the Lord and His Word. It's only in His presence and in His Word daily that our hearts can be stirred, changed, softened, and renewed. Listen to just a few verses that I picked out of the scriptures that talk about the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 27:19. As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. Matthew 6:21. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Matthew 5:8. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hebrews 3:12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Proverbs 4:20-21. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. And finally, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Now that is just a small taste. I could have gone on and on with so many more verses, but I pray this gives you a little insight into how important the heart is, the condition of our heart, the posture of our heart, the tenderness of our heart, the affections we set our hearts on. The heart is what the Lord will go after in a deep and meaningful way. Now, I want to read the main verses for this podcast. These are verses that I have underlined in my Bible. Specific words are circled and hearts are placed in many sections. These verses are found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Okay, like always, let's unpack these verses in context. Here's what a quick Google search tells us about Jeremiah, who was a prophet. A prophet's life is never easy, but Jeremiah had an especially rough time. Known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah in the Old Testament, right before Judah ultimately fell to Babylon and was led away into captivity. God sent Jeremiah to a crumbling nation to warn of their impending demise, a warning they did not heed. Now, what was Jeremiah's main message? Well, as a prophet, Jeremiah pronounced God's judgment upon the people of his time for their wickedness. He was concerned, especially with false and insincere worship and failure to trust Yahweh in national affairs. He called upon men to turn away from their wicked ways and dependence upon idols and false gods and return to their early covenantal loyal to Yahweh. I mean, it sounds like Jeremiah could be a prophet here in America too, right? Here's what Warren Wiersbe says in his commentary on Jeremiah 17. Instead of giving their devotion and obedience to the true living God who had blessed them, the Jews had adopted the idols of the nations around them and had made these false gods more important than Jehovah. At the high places in the hills, they had built altars for various gods. And because of their idolatry, their inheritance would be plundered. They would lose everything, and it would be their own fault. Wow, what a pretty intense description of what was taking place. Now, the verses we read, verses 5 through 10, are nestled between verses 1 through 4, which are titled Judah's Sin and Punishment, and verses 11 through 18, titled Jeremiah's Trust in the Lord. The verses that we read, verses 5 through 10, have the title of Wisdom from the Lord. The Lord always gives us a way out. He goes to great lengths to get our attention. He wants us to see how much we need Him, a way to truly love Him and worship Him, to follow Him in trust, in obedience. And that is what He's trying to convey to the people of Judah through Jeremiah in those verses. Unfortunately, they do not listen or adhere to anything Jeremiah is telling them. Listen to what verse 1 of Jeremiah 17 says about the hearts of the people in Judah. It says this: "The sin of Judah is inscribed with an iron chisel, engraved with a diamond point on their stony hearts and on the corners of their altars." Wow. The descriptive nature of what's happening in the hearts of the people of Judah is intense. You know, growing up, my dad owned a trophy and award store. So he did plaques and trophy for every sport and every occasion you could think of. And one of the most important parts of an award is the engraving, what you're going to say and how it will look. And you need to get it right, because once engraved on that medal, oh, there's no turning back. You would have to start over if you made a mistake. The diamond point on an engraver is designed to cut through metal. Years ago, my dad actually had a person that did hand engraving. And if that person didn't press hard enough, the words and letters would not show up on the metal. It was a very labor-intensive job. But years later, with technology, my dad was able to purchase engraving machines. And let's just say that those machines had no problem cutting into those metal plates. Jeremiah describes that the sin of Judah is inscribed and engraved on their stony hearts. When sin gets written on our hearts, it becomes engraved on our character. This is a serious heart problem. And because their hearts were so hard, they didn't see it or even care. They were succumbing to the worldly influences around them. They were looking to man and not to Yahweh. Listen again to what verses 5 and 6 say. This is what the Lord says: "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness, in an uninhabited, salty land." The leaders of Judah were prone to put their trust in their political allies. They would lean and depend on the arm of the flesh rather than depending on the power of God. Through Jeremiah, the Lord told them that they were cursed for turning to men and human strength and wisdom, turning to worldly idols and false gods. They put dependence on human ways and beliefs. They turn their hearts away from the Lord. Where we place our hearts, sister, has earthly and eternal consequences. 1 John 5:21 says this: "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." Yes, false gods and idols were abundant in that day and time. But before we judge them too harshly, let's remember we have false gods and idols in our day and age as well. Oh, they might look different and be called something else, but they have the same horrible effects on all of our hearts. There's money, possessions, fame, careers, success, power, pleasure, achievement, identity, and anything that starts with the word self. The list goes on and on. Listen to these two quotes. "There is no such thing as a non-worshipping human being. The only thing that divides human beings is what or whom they worship." Second quote: "Anything that we love and trust more than the true and living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is an idol and must be torn from our hearts." So, we see that the heart is the problem. That's what gets captivated. That's what we set our affection on or towards. Now, the world says to follow your heart. That's the biggest mistake that we could ever make. And why is that? Well, let's skip down and reread what verse 9 says in Jeremiah. It says this, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" Here's another great quote. "The heart of every problem is the problem in the heart." Here is how Paul David Tripp explains the heart and the problem with it. He says this, "The heart is the casual core of your personhood. It's the seat of your thoughts, emotions, desires, and motivations. It is the worship center of yourself. The heart is the reason you do the things you do and say the things you say. You and I literally live out of our hearts. Sin lives in our hearts, and because it does, it corrupts our thoughts, desires, choices, and motivations. We were created to be servants of God, but sin makes us lovers of self." Wow. I think he cuts to the chase of these words in his description of the heart and all its problems. And we must listen to this. They are filled with truth. And we know what the Bible says about truth, right? It sets us free. Jesus even addresses the Pharisees and how they put their trust and faith in their man-made traditions and rituals. In the Gospel of Mark, the Pharisees and teachers of the law confront Jesus. They want to know why some of his disciples don't follow an aged-old ritual of hand washing before eating. They were appalled that some of his disciples would eat without first performing the hand washing ceremony. Jesus responds to their question and calls them out. It's really good. Let's take a listen. Mark 7:6-8. Jesus replied, "You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore the law and substitute your own tradition.'" This is Jesus calling out exactly what Jeremiah was saying in verse 5 of chapter 17. This is what the Lord says, "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord." Sister, I pray that you are seeing this connection because, see, we are all prone to put our trust, hope, and faith in all the wrong things. Now, Jesus did continue with a parable, but for time's sake, we won't read that parable. Let's just read what he tells his disciples when he's alone with them after all this occurs. It's found in Mark 7:17-23. "Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. 'Don't you understand either?' he asked. 'Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer.'" Verse 20. "And then he added, 'It is what comes from the inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you.'" Those are some pretty strong words from Jesus. Every category of sin he lists, we can fall into. Do not kid yourself. But here's the good news. This isn't the ending. We have a solution, and it's found in the verses of Jeremiah. Let me read them again, starting with verse 7. "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. These verses are a stark contrast from the previous verses that tell us what happens when we put our trust in mere humans or human strength. No, these verses are teaching us not to put our trust in anything that the world has to offer, any human strength, reasoning, tradition, or rituals, but to put all our trust, hope, and confidence in the Lord, to make the Lord Himself our hope and our confidence. And we do this by spending time in His Word, in prayer, and in His presence daily. That, my sister, will always and forever be the answer. Now get a picture in your mind's eye of what happens to your heart as you do this daily. You're like a tree planted by the riverbank. Your spiritual roots go down deep into the water. Oh, not just any water, but the living water. You're not bothered by the heat or drought. In other words, the trials and difficulties that come from living in this fallen world. No, your leaves stay green and you never stop producing fruit. Oh, not because of you, but because of where and who you place your trust, hope, faith, and confidence in. Now, I want to end today's podcast by reading part of Paul David Tripp's devotion that I quoted from earlier. I think he gives us a clear and understandable answer to the problem of all of our hearts. Here's what he says. We were designed to live for God's glory, but sin causes us to make life all about our own glory. And unless these things change in our hearts, our behavior won't change at all. Or if it does change, it won't change for very long. No amount of commitment to self-reformation will change your heart. No amount of work to alter bad habits will change your heart. No amount of beating yourself up with guilt and shame will change your heart. No running from certain situations, locations, and relationships has the power to change your heart. You can't run from sin because you cannot run from you. The most outrageous acts of penance in the world are powerless to do what needs to be done, radically transform your heart. So, you and I are left with only one final option. It is the only choice that makes sense. Everything else is insanity. And we need to do this again and again until we don't need to do it anymore. We need to run to the grace of Jesus. Run for forgiveness. Run for power. Run for transformation. Run for deliverance. Run, run, run. Don't ever stop running to grace until Jesus has taken you home to a place where you need to run no more. Sister, the answer will always be run to Jesus. Let me pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, how desperately our heart needs you. You alone have the power to change our hearts, to give us right thoughts, desires, emotions, and motivations. Help all of us to see and adhere to the truth given to us in your word. Write these words on our hearts. Help us to plant ourselves at the bank of the living water. Let our roots go down deep so that when trials and difficulties come, that we are not uprooted, but we remain steadfast, not wavering, but trusting you, putting all our hope and confidence in you, Lord. Let our actions be the fruit grown in the secret garden of all of our hearts. Oh, help this precious sister listening to have a hunger and desire to spend time with you and in your word, And as she does this, her life will be a glorious reflection of the beauty of Jesus and the privilege she has to call him Savior and Lord. We love you so very much, Jesus, and we pray these things in your precious and powerful name. Amen. Well, that's all for today. Thanks so much for being here. I pray the Holy Spirit has truly stirred your heart and the intimacy between you and Jesus has grown deeper. Be sure to follow and download the Stirring Hearts podcast so you never miss an episode. We drop a new episode every week. You can also leave a review, which helps this podcast reach more women. And make sure to connect with me on social media and my website. The links are located in the show notes. May the Lord bless you and stir your heart as you diligently seek and love him. And remember, sister, you are never alone, and we are always better together.